What do you see on the screen? Where are they? What surrounds the pasture? Why are the sheep in a pasture surrounded by a fence? Protection. To protect the sheep from what? Wolves, predators, maybe from being stolen. From just simply doing what sheep do and saying, oh, hey, that's a pretty clump of grass over there. I think I'll go. There are many things that constitute fences. You know, you see a wire fence there. It could be a wooden fence. It could be a rock wall. It might be barbed wire. But there are a lot of things that surround sheep to protect them. And I believe the Bible calls us sheep, doesn't it? We need some protection. We need a boundary. We need something to determine where's a safe place for us to be and to turn away the predators and to keep us from simply wandering away. Anybody have any idea what the fence that protects us is? It is the Word. You know, there are a lot of people that want to talk about grace versus law. They want to set them as though they're diametrically opposite. But you know, even Jesus never did that. Jesus himself said not the smallest stroke of the pen would pass away from the Torah until all things were fulfilled. Well, what in the world does that mean? Because didn't grace trump the law? Grace completed the law. Grace enables us to have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us understand and follow the principles that the Torah stands for. You see, we translate Torah as law, but that's really not a good translation because it's more readily translated as teaching. Why do we teach our children? Why do we teach our children not to play in the road so that they won't be run over? Why do we teach our children not to touch the hot stove so they won't get burned? Why do we teach our children what is right and what is wrong, what is dangerous and what is safe? We do it to protect them. You see, that's what God did for Israel when he gave Moses the Torah. He gave them some guidelines, some teaching that says, you know what? It is not safe for you to worship the gods of the foreign nations. It'll get you into trouble. It's not safe for you to just willy-nilly have sex with anybody because it'll get you into trouble. It's not safe for you to steal from your neighbor because it'll get you into trouble. It's not safe for you to do all these many things. But it is safe for you to set your attention on God. You see, the Torah can be a fence. Now, there are two ways to perceive a fence. If you are on the inside looking out and you really want what's on the other side of the fence can be looked at as a restriction. It's something that's preventing me from doing what I want to do. But if the wolf is standing on the other side of the fence, you're pretty glad the fence is there. The fence is there to protect me. The fence is there to keep me safe. That's why the difference, I think, sometimes between the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, the Torah was out there. It was written on pages. It was engraved on stone and written on scrolls and taught to you by your religious leaders. Well, it still is there, but there's a difference. Because in the New Covenant, the law is written on the heart. The one who inspired men to take pen to paper or chisel to stone and write this stuff down lives on the inside of the born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. The lawgiver is on the inside of you. Jesus came in the flesh and modeled the principles of Torah for 33 years of life. And when he returns to the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit to indwell all of those who receive him. And we have the lawgiver, not out there somewhere, but in here. The best way to teach someone is for them to get it themselves and want to do it. When you set up rules and regulations and say, you can't go there, The flash reaction of most human beings is hide and watch me. Now you tell me I can't go there, I'm going there. But you see, if you understand why the restriction is there, it's a whole lot easier to say, you know what, I choose, because I understand the principle and I understand the why and the wherefore, I choose not to cross that line. Then it becomes part of you to obey instead of the natural man, which part of you says, I want to rebel. Let's look at these sheep a minute. They're inside that fence there, seem to be contented. They've got plenty to eat. Looks like they're in a safe place, right? But I wonder what might be outside that fence. That mountain lion might be outside the fence. You know, there's mountain lions outside of our fence, too. How's a mountain lion hunt? It hunts by stealth. It sneaks up on you. I have a house cat who just loves to stand at sliding doors in my dining room and look out on the deck where the birds are eating the leftover dog food. She'll crouch in front of the door, and she'll twitch. And she'll make funny noises. It sounds almost like a bird call. I wonder, is she trying to call the bird in? I don't know what she's doing. Cats hunt by stealth. They want to sneak up on you and surprise you. And if they sneak up on you and surprise you, your odds of survival are low. You see, it works that way in the world. Satan and people inspired and motivated by satanic directions like to sneak up on you sometimes. They don't want you to know you're being stalked until the time comes when they sprint. And then they get you. Anybody watching Alone this season? No, don't see anybody. You know, it's where they maroon people out in the wilderness. They're by themselves, and they can take like little 10 items with them, and they try to survive. Well, the very first day, one of the guys shows up, and he hears something. And there's a mountain lion about 50 feet away from him, stalking him. Never went anyplace without his bow and arrow again. That's the only defense he had. You see, these guys like to sneak up on you. But if you know they're around and you know they're coming, you can look for them. You can look for signs they've been there. You see, our world's like that. We need to know where the stalking predators are, the things that are sneaking up on us, so that we can be aware, and being aware, we are prepared. Does not the Scripture say that Satan stalks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? We don't want him to sneak up on us, do we? Then there are other kinds of predators. Hey, it worked. What do we got there? Pack of wolves. Wolves hunt another way. They hunt in a pack. They cluster together, and they come at you. And very often what they'll do is they'll, three or four of them in the pack will stake out an area, and the other one will go to the other side and allow himself to be seen. Connie taught that lions do that too in Africa sometimes. And the wolf will pop up and the herd will see the wolf and the herd will be afraid and run away from the wolf right into the fangs and claws of the rest of the wolves. Fear's deadly. Sometimes when the enemy gangs up on us, we run in fear right into the arms of the enemy. Ask someone who has tried to medicate their anxiety with chemical substances and ran right into the arms of addiction. My fear, my anxiety, those things that are bothering me, those things that I'm worrying about that I can't deal with, I'm going to run away from those all the way to methamphetamines because I won't feel when I'm on it. Or alcohol. Or any number of things. We've got to be wary of the pack hunters that stalk us with fear. But you see, there's sheep in that fence. They're safe from these animals. They're surrounded. They're protected. They may think they're being restricted, but they're there for their own good, aren't they? That's why that fence is there. But you see, there's a problem with fences. We got a gate, right? What is the condition of that gate? It's open. That gate's standing wide open. What's the purpose of a gate? To regulate entry. What do you let in and what do you keep in? You know, everybody have a door on their house? Keep it locked sometimes? Why? Because you want to control who comes into your house. You want to let your friends in and lock your enemies out. Those who seek to destroy you, you want to lock them out. But sometimes our decision-making process of who or what we let in and who or what we lock out becomes flawed. Those sheep, if there was some green grass on the other side of that gate and you left that gate open, what do you reckon the sheep are going to do? Zoom. Right out. And sometimes I think we're like that. Sometimes we don't pay close enough attention to what's going on. Sometimes we just got to make a decision about what's right and what's wrong. Do you remember a time when an apostle of God was arrested with his friend and they chained him up and they put him into prison and they started singing and praying and God knocked all the chains off and opened all the doors? What did they do? They stayed where they were and used it as a point of ministry. Now, God got them out because of their faithfulness. By doing that, he saved the jailer and the jailer's family, didn't he? Now, the jailer was thinking, oh, my Lord, the doors are open, all the prisoners escaped. I've been strictly charged by my superiors not to let the prisoners escape. They're going to kill me miserably. I'll just kill myself before they do. And he drew his sword and was ready to do himself in. Paul said, no, stop. We're all here. You don't have to do that. What should regulate our decision-making about gates? The Word. Do you remember when God told Moses in the Old Testament to tell the people to write some of the Word and put it on your doorposts and your gates? It's supposed to be a reminder, right? That mezuzah that's got a piece of scripture in it that you sit there by your door should remind you every time you walk past it to say, hey, God guards this door. I need to do what God would do. What will I let in? What will I keep out? See, your door controls entry to your house. The gate controls entry to your property. We need to meter everything through the Word of God when we determine what do we let into our lives and what do we let out of our lives. We've got some other gates. You've got two eyes. You've got two ears. What do you see? What do you allow yourself? What do you allow in the eye gate? What do you allow in the ear gate? What do you shut out? Satan doesn't always do everything with tangible, physical things that you can observe. He loves to sneak in. He loves to be like that mountain lion and sneak up on you and get you into a place where you let something in that you ought not let in. It's a dark picture. But what's wrong with that fence? The fence is broken. Now let me ask you a question. What is the most important part of the fence? The fence. It doesn't matter where that break is. If that fence is 500 miles long and there's a break in it, the fence has been compromised. The fence has been broken. And I'm going to tell you this, that in our world today, especially even in the church world today, there's a lot of broken fences out there. There's a lot of fences out there that churches have said, you know what, I don't care if that panel's broken, we're going to keep all the rest of these. But they've rendered the fence useless by not fixing that which has been broken. Now, how could that fence have gotten broken? Well, it might have just naturally happened because of inattention. The post rotted off and it fell over and the bars fell down and the fence was breached. Someone may have intentionally knocked it down. The animals that you tried to keep in might have knocked it down. The animals that you're trying to keep out might have knocked it down. There's one thing about fences. If you ask anybody that's got a ranch or a farm, what is the most tedious and time-consuming thing that they need to do, it's keeping their fences mended. We need to mend our fences. As individuals, as a church, as the church general, we need to mend some fences, because I tell you what we've done is, in a lot of cases, the shepherds, due to the pressure from the sheep, have kicked holes in the fence all over the church world. If we take the principles of Torah as what is the fence that protects us and keeps us in a place of safety, then leaders in churches all over this world have burned the fence in a lot of cases. Now, I'm not saying we should be legalistic tyrants. Don't get me wrong. But the principles that stand behind what the Jews would say are the 613 commandments in Torah, the principles that stand behind them are still valid. You want to know what those principles are? They asked Jesus one time what was the most important part of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a second is like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets are wrapped up in these two. Everything else is commentary. Jesus tells us how to come to himself by embracing what he did. But then he tells us how to live in those two simple statements. Love God, love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, you'll try to keep him from doing something that's self-destructive. If you love yourself, you'll try to keep yourself from doing something self-destructive. But you see, sometimes somebody's got to call our attention to things. Because here we got a problem, right? What's the problem? They've got out of the fence and they're in the road. They're in danger. So much of the church world today is out of the fence and in the road. And they're in danger. The longer they stay out there, the more risk they're at, and the more they're going to think that that's their natural habitat. The longer the church stays in the ditch, the more risk we're at, and the more we're going to think that it's our natural habitat to be out there doing what the world's doing. And pretty soon you won't be able to tell the difference. But you see, the church is supposed to see a problem like this occurring and take steps to fix it. What we got there? If you notice, the fence is broken down. And the sheep are in the pasture, and sitting right there in the gap where the fence is broken is a sheepdog. He's there for a reason. His job is to keep the sheep safe. Hello, pastors. Hello, teachers. Hello, church leaders. You may not be the shepherd, but you can be the sheepdog. Hey, sheep. You're not coming through this hole in the fence. There's wolves out there. Hey, sheep, back off. Don't come too near that hole. You might slip out. It's dangerous over here. Get back. I'm here to tell you the fence is supposed to be here. The fence is supposed to be here. And since the fence is broken down, I'm going to stand in the gap. There's a good biblical concept, isn't it? Stand in the gap. And I'm going to try to keep you safe. And when people do that, when church leaders do that, a lot of times they get a lot of angry sheep. Because the sheep don't want to be bullied. But there's green grass over there. But the other guy's sheep are over there. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Look, I'll just go over there and have a nibble and I'll come right back. Sheepdog says, nuh-uh. Not going to happen. I'm going to stop that from happening. And the sheepdog stands in the gap until one more thing happens. Here, what do we have? He's mending the fence. How do we mend the fence? In the church, we mend the fence by we teach the truth. We teach what this book says. We tell people why it's important. We stand in the gap with each other. You know what, all you are sheepdogs? When the sheep try to go through the gap in the fence to where the wolves are, guess what? Bark at them. Don't bark at them to scare them. Don't bark at them to hurt them. Don't bark at them to try to cause them any fear. Have you ever watched sheepdogs work? They're constantly in motion. And what they do is they get where they don't want the sheep to go. I remember watching one on TV, and they had like three sheepdogs that were working a flock of sheep down the street of a town. And they would run over to one, you know, the sheep would be starting to go to the right, and one of them would run over to the right and lay down and look at it. And the sheep would turn away from him. But then they'd turn too far, and one of the other dogs would go to the other side and run over there and lay down. And they worked them. They worked them. They didn't scare the sheep. They didn't hurt the sheep. But they stopped them from going where they shouldn't go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we need to do as believers. And oh, by the way, when you're the sheep that's trying to go where the sheep shouldn't go and the shepherd and the sheepdog gets in your way, cooperate. Don't be a rebellious sheep. A rebellious sheep get in trouble. Rebellious sheep end up being wolf food. Because you see, sheep are needy animals. Sheep will eat themselves out of a pasture. And therefore, the shepherd needs to take them to a new pasture from time to time. Because they'll eat the grass and pull it up by the roots. That's why the cattle ranchers in the Old West hated sheep so bad. Destroyed the grazing. They'd pull it up. With all that wool, sheep gets in a thorn bush or a barbed wire fence, we've got a problem. Sheep get caught. And if a fully wooled out sheep that's got a little weight on him ends up flopped over on his back, he can't get up. He's got to have help to get up. It's called being cast. The Bible's very clear in its metaphor about the church that the church is sheep and the leaders are shepherds under the good shepherd who is Jesus. We've got to help each other. We've got to know, say, hey, you know, there'd be nothing wrong at all if you had a really smart sheep and the sheepdog wasn't there and that gap in the fence was there, there'd be absolutely nothing wrong with one of the sheep who's got enough sense to do it stand in that gap too. We can do that. We can help each other. We can urge each other on to being in a good place. We can say, don't go there, friend, it's dangerous. Some of us can say, don't go there, friend, it's dangerous. I know because I've been there. I got wounds and scars and bruises, and I'm pretty sure all you do too. And a lot of those were received when you were someplace you ought not have been doing something you ought not have done. Associating with people you ought not have associated with. And we can take that experience and protect somebody else with it. Now, granted, a lot of times they're not going to want to receive it. They're not going to want to hear it. They're not going to want to understand it. But that doesn't relieve our responsibility to do what we can do to keep each other safe. So what I want to say this morning is this. There's no unimportant place in the fence. If we say that, well, that instruction's out of date, that instruction no longer applies, that instruction is something that we don't have to do anymore, we're saying that one panel of the fence isn't enough to let the enemy in. We're saying that one panel of the fence down is not enough to allow someone to escape through. It's not safe when the fence is broken. Look at yourself. Look at our body of believers. Look at the church. Look at the community. And I would say that if we look at the church universal, that fence needs a whole lot of repair. Now, we've got fundamentalists on one side telling you don't even go near the fence. And we've got progressives on the other side saying tear the whole thing down, none of it applies anymore. Jesus loves me, this I know. Which he does. But the principles, he said, don't pass away. If we read Paul, he gives you a whole big long list of things that are not godly, and he says the people that do these will not see heaven. Hello. I didn't see an expiration date on the list, did you? And since Paul is teaching after Jesus, then what Jesus did didn't change what Paul taught, because Paul was teaching what Jesus taught him, not what men taught him. He went off by himself, remember? He said, I don't want my understanding to be colored by all these other people. I'm going to go off by myself, and I'm going to get with Jesus, and we're going to figure out what I'm going to teach and what I'm going to preach. We've got a responsibility. We've got it personally. We've got it corporately. If you're in leadership, it's a higher standard. But we look around the church and we find that the church is pulling down the fence. We look at our nation. We look at what's happening in our capitals, both state and national. We find out that a lot of fences are being torn down. Well, we've always said that this wasn't okay, but now we say this is okay because we're educated now. We understand that people are going to do what they want to do anyway, so we may as well permit it. Doesn't agree with that book. We've got to get back to the basics. I'm not saying to be legalistic and judgmental. I'm saying to teach and preach and encourage and help and let people make an informed decision based on the truth that's in this book. But you know what? The truth that's in this book doesn't do a whole lot of good unless this truth is in your heart too. Because you see, that fence on the outside isn't near as good as the fence on the inside. And the only part of this book that we truly possess is that which we have got in us that we know how to live by. It's not any good on the coffee table under last week's newspaper. Got to get it on the inside. And that is where we grow, and that is where we thrive, and that is where we survive. When we get that on the inside, we can do what the Second Chronicles passage says that we've heard quoted so much for the last few years. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. I'm missing something. Pray, turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. You see, it doesn't say that the world needs to turn. It doesn't say that the lost need to turn. It says that the people of God need to look at themselves and turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves before the hand of Almighty God and ask and intercede. And if God's people do it in spite of the enemy, in spite of the lost, in spite of the world, he will hear and he will heal. Brothers and sisters, this land needs a lot of healing in a lot of ways. And it's our responsibility. What condition is your fence in? Doesn't matter whether you kicked it open, whether you left the gate open accidentally, whether you left the gate open intentionally, whether the sheep kicked it down, or whether the wolves broke it in, or whether a tree fell on it. If the fence is down, the fence is down. And we need to stand in the gap and rebuild the fence.